You're listening to the Fit Writer Podcast. I'm Kayla, the Fit Writer. I help busy women make time for their well-being so that they can have more energy and feel more confident. On my podcast, you will find discussions about physical health, mental health, and everything in between. Now, let's dive into today's episode. Hey guys, Kayla here. I just want to tell you a little bit about my very own program, Healthy Mind, Healthy Body. You probably already know a bit about it if you follow me elsewhere, so I'll be brief here. Let me just ask you three quick questions. Number one, are you a busy woman? Number two, are you tired of all these cookie cutter programs that make you feel like a hamster on a wheel? And number three, are you craving mental stimulation from these programs? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Healthy Mind, Healthy Body is definitely for you. This is my signature 12-week life transformation program that focuses on fitness, nutrition, and mindset. And the best part is that it's not time-consuming. You don't even need to drive yourself all the way to the gym. For more information and to apply to work with me, head over to thefitwriter.blog/HMHB. Hey friends, thank you guys so much for tuning in to another episode of The Fit Writer. Life has been interesting for sure. I've been back at work for well over a month now, like about a month and a half. I'm loving it. I'm so glad to be back. I really hope, because as you guys know, I live in Florida, and I really hope that things stay open, but obviously we still need to be taking precautions. Like, I'm coaching in a mask right now. Our members are working out in a mask. And we take that very seriously. And I'm just really hoping that people continue to follow the guidelines, or that they start following the guidelines, because I'm sure you guys have seen the Florida numbers. Not many people are taking it seriously down here, unfortunately. But I just pray that I'm not going to have to sit around and do nothing again, because that was the worst. Also, just recently, we found out that there's a little storm brewing down in the tropics. So, Florida, we are preparing for a tropical storm at the minimum, possibly a hurricane. Probably sometime this weekend, but we're not super sure yet. The weather forecast has been very wishy-washy, so honestly, all we're really doing at this point is just waiting and, you know, receiving the updates a couple times a day, trying to figure out what the heck we're gonna do with our lives. But chances are, if it's not anything, like, super crazy, we're probably just going to stay and put our shutters up and call it a day or a weekend, whichever. Anyways, so today's episode is going to be about a topic that I have spoken about before, not so much on the podcast, but with like other podcasts that I've been a guest on, and as well as like social media and things like that. And I mean, I know that you already know what this topic is because you can probably read, but that is toxic positivity. Yeah, the thing that we all like really love to hate, but then the people who are like really, you know, positive to the point where it's toxic, they don't even realize what they're doing. Yep, that's what I'm talking about today. So first and foremost, what is toxic positivity? Maybe you've never heard of it. I hadn't heard of it until like maybe a year ago, maybe a little bit more than a year ago. But according to the Psychology Group Online, they have a great definition of it. It is the excessive and ineffective overgeneralization of a happy, optimistic state across all situations. The process of toxic positivity results in the denial, minimization, and invalidation of the authentic human emotional experience. Whew, yeah, that was a lot of big, long words there. But basically, what this is saying, toxic positivity is where someone is just so effing happy and toxic, and they project that not just onto themselves, but onto other people, that they literally will deny any other sort of emotion that is not considered positive. And they will invalidate other people's emotions that might not be so positive. So, while, like, yes, it is understandable for people to want to be toxic. Oh my goodness. To be positive, it can get very toxic. And the reason why is because a lot of time when positivity gets toxic, it denies a healthy emotional experience. And that emotional experience includes negative emotions. It's just a factor of life. We are not always going to be happy-go-lucky creatures, and that's okay because we are human. So, I'm going to include some, like, examples and, like, signs of toxic positivity, especially ones that I've dealt with in my own life. And chances are you probably know somebody who has done this to you, or, you know, even worse, you might be someone who has done this to other people. So the first one is to minimize other people's experiences with quotes or statements. And I call them, I actually wrote in my notes, the very few, this is like mostly an unscripted episode, but the very few notes that I have, I literally wrote stupid quotes or statements, because that's literally what they are. When you, someone is going through a rough time and you send them a quote that says something along the lines of, when you remain positive in any situation, you win. That's not very helpful. You're literally minimizing their experience, and in a way, this is a future point too that I'm going to make, you're shaming them for feeling something other than positive. So you're literally telling them that, like, they're losing because, you know, they're depressed. That's, like, literally what you are saying. So obviously this is an issue because you need to allow people to experience whatever emotion that they are going through. Instead of saying, like, sending someone a quote, maybe you could ask them, what are you feeling right now? Talk to me. I am listening to you. I am here for you. That's a way that you can support them. Secondly, is trying to give someone perspective. And yeah, like, okay, a good dose of perspective is nice every now and then. But then when you try to add on, like, this weird positive twist, it's kind of like one of those backhanded compliments. Here's what I'm talking about. When you tell somebody, well, it could be worse. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about here, guys. Like, when people are like, oh, I know that your house burned down, but it could be worse. What? It could be worse, but at least, oh, even better. I know that your house burned down, but at least your home insurance will rebuild it. As if there wasn't, you know, things inside of that house that were probably sentimental that these people are grieving the loss of. Do you see what I mean here? I've dealt with this actually personally on quite a few occasions, like growing up when I would be like, well, my parents are divorced. And that was a very sensitive topic for me growing up. And people would be like, well, it could be worse. At least both of your parents are still alive. That's not helpful at all. Like, yes, I know that I'm lucky to have both of my parents alive and well, but still not helpful. Even, like, not more recently, but back when my papa was diagnosed with leukemia, I legitimately had a friend tell me, well, at least you know in advance that he's going to die. It's not just, like, a random thing. It's not like he just dropped dead because he had a heart attack or something. And I was like, are you even listening to yourself right now? Like, I just told you that, like, my hero, the man that I look up to, like, he freaking put stars up in the sky, has leukemia, and you're telling me, well, at least he got some notice. Like, this isn't an apartment that I'm renting where I give 30 days notice. Like, are you freaking for real right now? So when you get the urge to try to give someone this perspective, hold back on that because that's just you invalidating this person's emotions. You know, just let them get it out. Tell them, you know, I'm sorry, I'm listening, I'm here for you. Just don't even try to tell them, well, it could be worse. Like, it could always be worse in reality. It could always be worse. But you saying that does not make anybody feel better, and it doesn't make the situation better either. Last but not least, shaming others for expressing their negative feelings, like any feeling other than positivity. And this has happened to me so many times by some of, well, I mean, not like a ton of people, but it's like the few people have done this to me a lot in the past, especially when my mental illnesses hadn't been diagnosed yet. And I kind of knew that there was something going on with me. Like, I was like, there's just something not normal about, you know, the state of mind that I'm in, and just the emotions that I experience and things like that. But I couldn't quite put my finger on it. And I kind of like, I had a feeling all along, but for obvious reasons, I didn't seek help for a very long time. But I would have people that would be like would come at me and be like, why do you always have to be so negative? Why are you such a negative Nancy, Kayla? Like, why don't you just try being positive? Or, you know, my favorite was someone came at me basically telling me, well, since you're so negative, you're going to attract negativity. And sure, I do believe in the law of attraction, but let me feel the way that I want to feel. Like, don't come at me for being negative and things like that because you're literally shaming me. And a lot of times when people are doing that, you're encouraging someone to suppress their emotions, which is not healthy either. So, that just whenever you feel the need to shame somebody and be like, why can't you just be positive? Like, why do you always have to be negative? Like, take a step back and just remove yourself from the situation. If you really feel the need to do that, just remove yourself from the situation. And I can honestly say that the people who have done that to me, like, my relationship with them is ruined. And most of them I don't even talk to because of the fact that I was, and especially now looking back, I was showing so many signs of being mentally unwell. And instead of caring about me and saying, Kayla, are you okay? Do you need help? You know, I'm concerned about you, things like that. Instead, they chose to shame me for how I was feeling. So those are the three examples that I want to use as far as toxic positivity. And obviously, like, there's so much wrong with toxic positivity, and it is truly bad for our health, like our mental health, which then impacts our physical health. Obviously, toxic positivity is a way of shaming people for feeling negative, and that in turn, when you force your positive outlook on someone, that in turn encourages somebody to keep silent about their pain. And do you really want to do that? Because we all know that when people stay silent about their pain and they just suppress it, that eventually it comes out. And in some people, it doesn't come out in a very healthy way. And especially in some people, they could do something that's irreversible, like kill themselves, for example. Do you really want to encourage somebody to really suppress that pain? I don't think so. Shame is also, I'm reading from the psychologygroup.com because they have some amazing, they posted an amazing thing about toxic positivity. And it says here that shame is crippling to the human spirit and one of the most uncomfortable feelings that we can feel. And that is so true. To feel shame, you literally, like, I've been with, you know, events going on lately, especially out there in society in the United States here, I have been feeling a lot of shame. And it does suck, and it is very uncomfortable. And the one thing, and obviously no one has, like, made me feel ashamed. It's just that I've been paying attention, and I feel ashamed. Think about it. If someone were to actually publicly shame me, it would be probably a million times worse. So some people just don't handle that very well. And so you really should not shame others for just being human. That's the issue here, is that negative emotions are part of the experience that is being a human being. And when you shame somebody for feeling those negative emotions, you are crippling their spirit. And that is truly something that, I don't know, I personally would never want to live with, knowing that I made somebody feel so bad spiritually. Also, several studies show that obviously toxic positivity forces us to hide or deny our feelings, which leads to even more stress, which also leads to poor physical health. Like, it's no secret that stress and physical health go hand in hand. We all experience stress, but if we experience too much stress, then we deal with things like anxiety, depression, you know, like digestive issues, tons of other problems, weight gain, which then in turn leads to even more issues. So that's another reason, like, toxic positivity can really create this ripple effect of mental and physical damage. It's just, it's absolutely not okay. And then not to mention, toxic positivity can be so isolating, and not just for the person that, like, you're shaming or trying to minimize, but also in a way, like, it can be isolating for the person who is, like, you know, practicing that toxic positivity. And the thing that comes to mind here is social media, and the fact that so many people on social media are so freaking fake, and they feel the need to act like everything is just hunky-dory all the time. They don't have any life issues or anything like that. That's toxic positivity. And one thing that really comes to mind here right now that I've been seeing a lot of lately is Rachel Hollis and her husband divorcing. I haven't read any of her books, I'm not gonna lie, because I feel like that is, like, toxic positivity literally right there. But the fact that, at least from what I've read through the anti-MLM stuff, because MLM bus babes go crazy for Rachel Hollis, but the things that I've read is the fact that, like, her and her husband, like, literally put on marriage conferences and would coach couples and, like, how to have a successful marriage and stuff, and basically portraying this perfect marriage when in reality it wasn't perfect at all, and they ultimately got divorced and blindsided everybody. So that's another example of toxic positivity. So just, I wanted to end this with examples of more of things that you could say instead of these, like, toxic positivity statements. So the first one is, don't think about it, just stay positive. Instead, let them think about it. Let them describe what they are feeling and listen to them. You always want to come at it from a place of support. So the whole, don't worry, be happy. I instead be like, hey, like, is there anything I can do for you? Like, I know that you're stressed, or, you know, you're feeling down right now. Is there anything that I can do? And then, like, the whole positive vibes only, that's another one. Instead, I'm here for you, for better or for worse. Like, I got you. I have your back through thick and thin. You know, things like that. Excuse me. Not corona. In the end, I think that a lot of this, we are also in a way conditioned to try to point out that positivity because maybe a lot of us are uncomfortable with the negative. And I think that's pretty normal too. But this comes, like, we should be more mindful of that and practice more mindfulness in the sense of, you know, maybe I shouldn't send them this don't worry, be happy quote. Maybe I should just use my own words and offer my support to them and just let them know that I'm here for them. So those are just some things to think about. Thank you guys so much for listening today. I know this one was actually a little bit longer than my usual podcast, but it's definitely something that I've been thinking about and something I've been wanting to get off of my chest. So I hope you guys have a wonderful rest of your week, and I will talk at you next time. Thank you guys again for listening to this episode of the Fit Writer Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please be sure to leave a 5-star rating or review. It would really help me out. And if you're looking for me elsewhere, you can find me on the gram at kayla.rack, R-A-K. And yes, that is a new Instagram handle, so I'm going to give it to you again. It is Kayla, K-A-Y-L-A dot rack, R-A-K. You can also find free workouts, information, and my services on my website at thefitwriter.blog. I will talk to you guys next time. Have a good day.